This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Rebels with the Wagner Group, who aborted a rebellion this weekend in Russia, are now defending their actions. Leader Yevgeny Prigozhin spoke through an interpreter.
It was peaceful. We did not aim to overthrow the existing regime, nor the legitimate power, and we turned back so that we would not spill the blood of Russian soldiers.
President Putin also weighed in. We get his reaction from CBS's Skyler Henry.
Russian President Vladimir Putin said the leaders of this weekend's armed rebellion betrayed their country and pushed them towards death in hopes Russians would kill each other. He went on to praise soldiers from the mercenary Wagner Group for not entering Moscow. He promised they would not be punished and could join the Russian army.
The U.S., meantime, has distanced itself from the mutiny, but President Biden says it will continue to support Ukraine. People are sweating it out again this week in Texas, where a brutal heat wave could break power records as more people jack up their ACs to stay cool. Austin Emergency Management Director Ken Snipes.
We encourage Austinites to stay hydrated, stay cool, and stay safe during these conditions.
A tornado caused significant damage last night in Johnson County, Indiana. People there say it was scary.
I want to reiterate what this place. All of a sudden, you look out your back door, and all of a sudden, you see a tornado coming toward the ground.
It was overwhelming to see your house and see the outside and know that you were just sitting there and you could have been dead.
At least one person was killed in that storm. Two people died in Arkansas.
To those five counts of murder in the first degree, how do you plead?
Guilty.
A 23-year-old will spend the rest of his life behind bars for killing five people at a gay nightclub in Colorado. District Attorney Michael Allen.
I want to reiterate what this plea agreement is and what it means. Five consecutive life sentences. One life sentence for each murder victim.
The plea spares victims' families and survivors from that night from going through a long trial. The makers of Ozempic are working on a new pill for weight loss. Dr. Celine Gounder.
Some of the pills we might see as early as within the next year. Some may take longer. The orforglipron is probably going to take a bit longer to get through phase three trials.
They are expected to be a lot cheaper, though, than those popular shots. More than 2 million Muslims are now taking part in this week's Hajj pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca in Saudi Arabia. It's one of the world's largest religious gatherings, and Muslims are encouraged to do it at least once in their lives since the experience is said to wipe away sins and bring them closer to God. It's returning to full capacity for the first time since the pandemic. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Well, we've had weeks of air quality advisories in Wisconsin, including for ozone last week. This week, it's Canadian wildfire smoke again, as the DNR has issued an air quality advisory through noon on Thursday. The smoke is moving in from north to south, and the DNR said that the air quality will be the worst in the eastern parts of the state earlier in the week, with the heaviest smoke arriving across Wisconsin tomorrow through Wednesday. The DNR said that when air quality is this low, people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health conditions, especially respiratory conditions. In Eau Claire County, a second lawsuit has been filed against the city of Eau Claire as it attempts to annex land from a bordering township. The town of Washington filed the lawsuit on Friday, saying that the borders are oddly shaped and nearly cuts the town in half. The city doesn't have a need for the land it's trying to take, and that it violates state law because it didn't follow procedure. The 438-acre piece of land was to be developed into housing. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley, 93.5, The Tap.
Good evening, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. Welcome back to your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw, WAUK, 540 AM, 101 FM. We have been up and running for over a year, and you know, our focus has always been on moving Wisconsin forward. I was trying to pay attention to the pulse and what's happening on the ground level with the democracy movement. And folks, I'm delighted to have back tonight Luann Bird, who has been very active in the democracy movement in Wisconsin. So welcome back, Luann.
Well, thank you for having me, and hello to everyone out there. Hello, friends.
So, Luann, last time you were on, I think you were running. You were involved in a race for the Assembly District against Bob Donovan. Yes?
Yes, I was. It was go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say it was a very busy and exciting time.
Right. I'm and sure. You had a very good showing, but Bob Donovan won, and he is now part of this Republican sort of tyranny, as I see it, with these rigged, unfair maps. And I'm assuming he's going to be voting for this budget that they've just passed in, or they're just—I know they haven't passed, but came out of joint finance that gives so many billions to the top earners in our state, ignores the middle class, all that after a shared revenue plan that really, really hurt Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee by attacking, you know, some things that have been near and dear to folks in the city. But you're out here, you're still very, very active.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. I know that you have your eyes on that seat of Donovan. So what do you have to say to Mr. Donovan and what the latest? What's it look
well,
like?
Well, the first thing I did after I lost was go to his swearing in, which he held right here in Greenfield, because I wanted to, well, he's my legislator now, so I wanted to make sure that I stay in touch and involved. And then a constituent in our district, Dr. Catherine Wilkinson, and I, she wanted to set up a meeting with him because she's a trauma surgeon and she sees all these kids dying coming into the ER and they're dying from gun violence. And she had this set up list of bills that she wanted Bob Donovan to sign on to. And she called them low hanging fruit, things like gun locks so that children when there's children in homes, background checks, nothing that would take your guns away, but things that would keep make us safer and save lives. And she had done her research and her homework. So I set up a meeting with Bob at Zeb's. I think it was in December. He hadn't been in very long. And we had a conversation about guns. And then I went to his listening sessions that he held. And I've been talking with him about budget and priorities and things, because I feel like, for those of you that voted for me out there, I'm your voice, because I got 49% of the vote, which tells me that half of the people in this district really care about the things that I do. And it's been helpful to have that kind of power and to feel that influential. I've also found it to beneficial to have a relationship with Bob. Because now what has come up is several bills that I've been talking with him on. And it sounds like he might sign on to the Extreme Risk Protection Act. No, it doesn't sound like. His aide told me he's signing on to that bill that Deb Indraca, Representative Indraca, introduced last week. So I say the election was over. It was very hard to go to that swearing in. But I was like, the election's over. Now let's work on some issues. That's how I approach it. So I'm keeping in touch, you bet, on that and a lot of other issues.
So I'm looking here, and behind your left shoulder, I see bird on a wire. What's bird on a wire conversation on hope, civility, and
action? Well, when I lost the election, I did kind of a thank you tour, and I met with different people that had voted for me, or, you know, different friends that were involved in my campaign, went to doors again and thanked people. And one of the people I reached out to was Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area, because he had written an article called Bird on a Wire about me. And it was very well done. I mean, he came on doors with me. I felt like he understood what I was trying to do, which was not just beat someone, but to really change something, to really crank the corner back, you know, the direction around, to, instead of destroying democracy, we really have to protect it and rebuild it. And the way I was doing that was building some civility into the process and, you know, getting to know people and listening. And then he writes this article. So the election's over and he says, Lou, we met for coffee and we both felt so bad. And he says, well, why don't you do podcasts? And I said, well, you know, I think you should keep the conversations going. And I said, you know, you're right. And of course I would do that, but I don't know how. So he said, well, I can produce them. And then you can, he'll put them up on the Recombobulation Area. We reached out to Civic Media, who became the major sponsor, so that we could make that happen and make it free to all the listeners. And we did a series of 10 Bird on a Wire podcasts on all different topics with all different people that I knew or met along the way in the campaign. Now, so those are done. And today, Dan released what he calls a bonus one, where right at the end, he said he had to come back to the birdhouse here and do one more to wrap up talk about what we learned, how powerful those conversations were, and what's next. So that's what that's all about back there, Bird on a Wire. And now we're going Bird on a Wire on tour. For the summer, we're doing these in people's backyards or, you know, in people's homes, wherever we can reach out and talk to people about civility, hope, and action.
So I saw a post Wednesday, June 28th, 6:30 p.m., a Bird on the Wire live tour with Tyler Kelly?
Yes.
So who is Tyler Kelly and what's the subject?
Well, the tragic news is that my nephew took his own life with a gun not very long ago in May. And I went to the Emergency Gun Summit in Milwaukee, and Tyler Kelly had moderated a session with a bunch of college kids and high school kids on the effect of gun violence on our youth. And it was called The Lockdown Generation. And I was so moved by that I invited Tyler to come. He's young. He's an activist. He's been working on gun violence for 6 years. So I figured he'd be a great person to come and talk to my friends in my backyard. It's open to the public. So if people would like to come, it's at 6:30. We're just going to have a conversation and then we'll engage the audience in some way, shape, or form. Or we might just have a little social where everybody can just, you know, talk about what what they just heard, what they think. And I'm really interested in what people can do as a result of learning more information on gun violence and its effect on our youth. So that's Wednesday.
So the going back to Mr. Donovan, where do you think he stands on this issue of what is the, put it this way, what is the civil way to handle these gun issues?
Just like you and I are doing, civility means, you know, you're kind and you talk and you listen. It doesn't name call. It doesn't, I mean, you can even get mad. Anger is a very big part of who we are as people, especially at injustice. So civility would call for what you might call civil conversations, where you're, you know, engaging around an issue, you know, for a purpose. Now, I went down to Madison last week, I think it was, they had, when they introduced those bills, they had a press conference. And I went down there and I, you know, they did this beautiful press conference in the assembly chamber. It's like probably the fourth or fifth time they've introduced this same set of bills. And now when I got done with that, I went right down to Bob Donovan's office and talked to his aide, Stefan, which we're, you know, we're friends. I told him the story. I think civility is also, you know, having some empathy. I believe people care. And so I told Stefan about what happened to my nephew and some of the details around, you know, my niece's, well, his daughter's trying to get a gun away from him. And they couldn't because there's no law in place that says if you're a risk to yourself or someone else, they can take that gun away temporarily, and they couldn't get it away from him. So now here he is, he's gone. And Bob Donovan's Stefan was so nice. He said, do you mind telling me what happened? And I did. I gave him some details behind that. And then the next word I got when I talked to him again, because of course I want to have another meeting with him to talk about these bills and where it's all going. He said, Bob says he's going to sign on to the Extreme Risk Protection Act, which is the red flag laws. So that's where we go. You know, I think you have to talk to people. We have to make our views known. And one thing I learned during one of my podcasts with Dr. Catherine Wilkinson is that we have a fatalistic attitude on gun control. We don't feel like we can actually do something about it. And because we have these doubts, and I've sure learned that talking to people after my nephew's passing, how many people say, well, you know, he'd have found another way or this or that, all kinds of excuses. But the bottom line is they're not true. You got to pick up the phone right now and you got to call your legislators all around the state. And we can get some bills that were introduced last week passed that would really save lives. So now I'm speaking to it from a personal, it's personal to me now. So that's,
thank you so much for sharing that really, really powerful story, and my condolences to you and your family. And I am very hopeful for you and your efforts to communicate. And if you could get Bob Donovan to vote for that, that would be truly, truly a success. So, folks, I am here with Luanne Bird, who is out there fighting for all of us, teaching us how to have hope, civility, and action. We'll be right back on the other side of the break to talk more about Luanne Bird's vision for the state and her district. And again, Luanne, thanks for that powerful, powerful story. Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We'll be right back.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, Know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, lows dropping down to the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high mid-80s. Increasing clouds Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms Wednesday, high low 80s, and a slight chance Thursday, high middle 80s. Right now, it's 76.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Of your show. We are here every Monday night from 7 to 8 p.m. WAUK 540 AM 101 FM. If you're just joining us, you really missed a lot already. We are so happy to have Luann Bird back with us. Hello again, Luann.
Hello.
Luann is active out there. Bird on a Wire is a podcast that she's been using to keep things and moving forward in the 84th Assembly District. So what else is happening at the street level?
Well, that's the cool part is podcasts were just another way to continue talking about hope, civility, and action. And what I have found to this day, I keep running into people that say, oh, you're Luann Bird. And, you know, I've listened to your podcast or I followed your campaign. I loved your message. My vision for the whole state is for people to feel good about politics again like that, to say, yeah, we can debate issues, we can disagree on issues, but we can talk about them and we can get along and we can be respectful and kind for each other. So I'm so happy to say that. And the other thing that was interesting is I went to the Democratic convention this year and I just felt great to be involved at that level, to be, you know, really working on democracy and protecting democracy and some of the issues I really care about. And I know that people in my district care about. So I go to that. I was expecting to see all of my friends now that helped knock on doors for me, and including, you know, people that called me after the election, like the governor and Tammy Baldwin and Josh Call, all these people that I've become friends with in the last year. It was great. What I didn't expect were all the people that would kept happening all weekend. They'd come up to me and they'd say, I follow you on Twitter. I think you do a great job. You're really involved. And I am. I'm always active. I went to the Greenfield Farmers Market to show my support for the, you know, the gay and lesbian, the event that got canceled. And anyway, so I continued to be involved and I continue to run into people that are following me or have followed me, or they say this, like there's a cook, a chef, I think, it's his family's business. It's called Ali's Powerhouse in Wauwatosa. And I go in there for coffee. And the guy that is a chef in there noticed me and he sends me a little message on Facebook. And he's, you know, so I'd like to meet you. So I go in there and I meet Nick Zimmerman and thank him for his support. He doesn't live in my district, but he sure wants to help me next time when I, you know, when I run. And I just love, I continue to run into people like that. In the last week, I've met two women that have supported me. I think they're going to come tomorrow, Wednesday night, to my event here, named Linda, that also were excited about the work that I do. And I think the hope what I think we're doing and what I can do is give people hope, show them how to get in there and take action and create the kind of change that we want to see. A little thing like showing up to the farmers market went a long way for all of the people that are LGBTQ plus. You know, it just goes, a little act of kindness like that goes such a long way. And by the way, I've had Mayor Mike Nitzke is a very good guy. The guy that canceled that event, he's a friend of mine, and we had just had coffee on Saturday. And, you know, so I got to get that inside scoop about what he was thinking and feeling when he made that decision. And I think he understands, you know, there might be a different way to do things next time, but you only learn that by listening and talking, not by attacking or, you know, putting someone down or judging them. So that was an interesting weekend for me.
So here's the question. You know, we have a proposal in this budget.
Yeah.
You know, we're sitting on almost $7 billion. And most of that, or over $3 billion now, is earmarked for the most wealthiest folks that don't need the money. And if we're using civility, hope, and action, and people are really attacking people, and, you know, taking resources, what's the message? How do we respond to that?
Well, I see a lot of civility happening because civility is not passive. And that's the part that I'm trying to get through to, as you process, what is civility and what does it look like? What does it feel like? It doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. It's not passive. It's not that. It's getting in there and it's talking and it's listening. That's what they're doing with all these protests that were in Madison. I got to participate in one before I went into the on the food. I'm like, feed the kids. This seems like such a no-brainer. Feed the kids. I don't understand that. Childcare. I don't understand those priorities. And the way to change it, though, instead of sitting back and complaining about it, have some hope. Make those phone calls. We also have a governor. Fortunately, we got that governor, Governor Evers, reelected. So my hope is that he will be able to veto some of these crazy things that are coming up. And it is painful for me as well to look at that newspaper every day and see all the cuts that, and all of the things, the great things that I believe in and that I know at least half, if not more, of the people in this district believe in, you know, just being thrown out of that budget. It's hard to understand why you would want to cut the university system. It's hard to understand why you would want to take local control of all of our technical colleges when they're doing just fine the way they are. I just don't understand the power grab. Government works best at the local level. So I am expecting to, by staying involved, I guess I feel like I can make a difference at some point. And our listeners could too. You know, if you're thinking about running, boy, I can't encourage it. Can't say enough about the power you have when you run, even if you lose. But getting in there, taking action, or pick up that phone, please, and make your calls about the budget, the things you don't like. Call and let your legislators know, and your senators, and please call at the national level to get rid of assault rifles. Right now, there's a bill circulating there that we may be able to do something about. So that's what civility looks like. It's action. It's active. And if you have hope, that means there's work to do, right? So, it's easy to be hopeless and sit back and do nothing.
Luann Bird.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Stay there. Bird on a wire. Keep hope,
thank
stability,
you.
And action alive. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon, I hope.
Bet.
And good
thank
luck
you.
Coming up. And
more sessions are coming up. More Bird on a Wire on tour.
We'll be right back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show.
Excellent. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin claims his forces' moves toward Moscow were meant to send a message, not overthrow Vladimir Putin. Putin responded. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble.
President Putin did not use Prigozhin's name in his speech. I take this as a sure sign that Putin now considers Prigozhin an enemy and a traitor.
Three weekend tornadoes are confirmed in Indiana. Severe storms also hit the south, and as CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson reports,
severe thunderstorm watches in effect
effect from North Carolina all the way to upstate New York, and all the big cities along the I-95 corridor are under that watch.
Anderson Lee Aldrich pleads guilty to 5 counts of murder and 46 counts of attempted murder in last year's shooting at an LGBTQ plus club in Colorado Springs. He'll serve life in prison, no parole. District Attorney Michael Allen.
This plea agreement quite simply holds the defendant accountable to the maximum extent possible under the law in the state of Colorado.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. The Wisconsin DNR says wildfire smoke from Canada will settle in across the state this week and has issued an air quality advisory through noon on Thursday. The DNR said that the air quality will be worst in the eastern parts of the state earlier in the week, with the heaviest smoke arriving across Wisconsin tomorrow through Wednesday. The DNR says that when air quality is this low, people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. In Eau Claire County, a second lawsuit has been filed against the city of Eau Claire as it attempts to annex land from a bordering township. The town of Washington filed the lawsuit on Friday, saying that the borders are oddly shaped and nearly cuts the township in half, the city doesn't have a need for the land it's trying to take, and that it violates state law because it didn't follow procedure. This is the second lawsuit after one was filed late last year. The 438-acre piece of land was to be redeveloped into housing, but people living in the area have rallied against it. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Johnson. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. Monday nights, WAUK 540 a.m. 101 FM. I am really, really honored and privileged to have Marcelia Nicholson, the chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, with us, supervisor with 10th district, I think, right? Out of Milwaukee County?
Now 10th, absolutely.
And I'm really excited to have you here tonight. So tell folks, our listeners, a little bit about who you are and why they should be as impressed as I am about you being a chairwoman.
Oh, well, first of all, Mark, thank you so much for having me on today. I don't know. Well, folks, His wife was my high school principal. And Mark was also one of my earliest supporters. So this feels like full circle for me. Thanks for having me. And I'll tell your listeners about me and I'll let them make the determination for themselves. But my name is Marcelia Nicholson. I am chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. I was elected chairwoman in 2020 at the height of the pandemic. I was first elected to the Milwaukee County Board in 2016, where I was also working as a fourth grade public school teacher with Milwaukee Public Schools. And prior to that, I also did some union organizing. And I grew up in the poorest zip code in the state. I come from the 53206 zip code, which is known for having some of the toughest challenges. We have some of the, we're one of the most segregated towns. We have more incarceration than any other zip code. We have more health disparities, more educational disparities. And so growing up was very much a challenge, but it was really my public schools that served as a hub and a safe place for myself and my siblings. And so when I had the opportunity to become the first person in my family to go to college, and I didn't know I was going to go to college, actually, Mark. It was a guidance counselor, Ms. Smith, who convinced me to take the ACTs. She actually took care of my application fees for me and encouraged me to go to school. And it's, again, because of teachers, which is why when I got the opportunity, I wanted to become a teacher. It was my time in the classroom where I really started to understand the connections between policy and the lives that people live every day. I was thrown into a fourth grade classroom. I had a class roster of almost 40 students, no support teacher. I was given no supplies. I had to fundraise books, writing utensils, those notebooks, anything you can imagine. And once I started to learn that there are decision makers at the table that never stepped foot in the classroom, that's when I got activated, started going to school board meetings. I started going and testifying at city council meetings and going up to the state and, yelling at, Republicans out at the state level. And it was when I was actually convinced and recruited to run for office. It was never my idea. I didn't think I was qualified enough. I didn't think I had enough money. I didn't have a big enough of a family name. But there were teachers and there are my students and there are everyday folks in the community, from bus drivers to, trade workers to, like my grandma, who showed up for me and supported me along the way. So I was out in there and just say it's been an opportunity of a lifetime. I've loved what I've been able to do and be a part of these last several years. And I hope there's more to come.
Well, I'll put a plug in here for my wife, your former mentor. So, I'm a big believer in public schools, too, and that they have created some of the best leaders in the state. And you definitely come through a wonderful system. And, one of the reasons I'm really happy to have you here, because your voice and your presence and who you are as a leader is going to shape this county and the state for the next 20 years. So, we're looking at a budget that is coming at us that really did a number on public education in a lot of ways. So what's the road ahead? How do you see us getting from sort of what I see as a dark place? How do we get to the light?
I'll just preface by saying that that I'm not the only person in leadership that has come from Milwaukee Public Schools or the 53206 zip code. Our Milwaukee Mayor, Cavalier Johnson, is also a product of both MPS and 53206, as far as our county executive, David Crowley. And I will say that it has been, I've been proud and grateful to be in partnership with those two, because I think we all really understand the challenges that many Milwaukeeans are facing. The mayor will tell you all the time that He went to, you know, 8 or 9 different schools in elementary school. Our county executive will tell you that he and his family have faced evictions. And so this problem that we're facing is not a new problem. It's a problem that precedes all of us. I think I'm the youngest of the two. I'm 34. I'll be 35 on Thursday. The mayor and the county executive are both 36 years old. And these problems precede us. And so we were committed to, you know, work lock and step to try and, you know, advance not only a mission for Milwaukee, but also like, let's find some solutions. And being at the table has been eye-opening. It has been challenging. It has been frustrating, but it's also been hopeful. Mark, you're not wrong. In this state budget, there are some, I think, horrible provisions that have been placed on the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County related to, you know, from we can't spend more specifically at the city tax levy towards DEI or diversity, equity, inclusion initiatives. There's a dismantling of the powers within the fire and police commission. You have things like having to dedicate resources towards public safety specifically, while also not being able to invest in much in things like art and culture. And to your point, there was less given to public schools than there were to like voucher and charter schools. I will say where we find light is that not in my lifetime has there been a table of folks who are on different ends of the political spectrum, reaching consensus on an issue that is going to plague Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee if we don't solve it. So, and I'm kind of talking around, but what I'll say intentionally is that we've accomplished something together. It was bipartisan in that the Republicans were more than happy to let the city of Milwaukee go bankrupt. They're more than happy to see us reach a fiscal cliff. But because we were able to paint the picture of what this would mean for our constituents, while they gave us some provisions that we definitely intend to fight back on long term and we'll continue to try and fight back, we've been given a tool to raise much needed revenue. And as the arm of the state at Milwaukee County, we only have so many options in terms of raising revenue. And the sales tax is really the only option we have on the table to avoid a fiscal cliff. And when I say avoiding a fiscal cliff, that means shared revenue has been flat. It means our ability to raise revenue is not compatible with the large bills that we have to pay. And without a sales tax, we can see our transit system collapse. Folks use the bus to go to work, to go to school, to go to the doctor. We can see our parks and culture, our parks and our parks facilities, our cultural institutions like our museums not be as invested in. We can see public safety fall by the wayside and more. Human services as well. These are services that people depend on to live and thrive every day. And this is really the one solution that we have. So I will say I'm grateful in that regard that we have been given this tool, because this has been a tool that the county has been seeking for over 2 decades. So when I say that there's light, we at least have this option. And then in terms of all the other things, we're going to continue to fight. We're going to continue to build coalitions, and we're going to continue to flip seats. So that we can get back to a clean slate, what Milwaukee and the city of Milwaukee deserves.
So, you know, you've said that, I think you said you first got elected, right, in 2016?
Yes.
So it's been 7 years that you've been very, very active in municipal county politics. And there was a lot of attacks on local control, and it wasn't just on Milwaukee County in this whole process. What do you see from your folks in counties, I'm assuming, right? You're working with folks from other counties. What are they saying? And if they're, you know, redder counties, purpler counties, you know, how are you building that coalition around local control?
Yeah, so So in terms of local control, first of all, local control is so important, and that's the ability for the decision makers that are closer to you to be able to make decisions that are going to impact your lives day to day. It makes no sense that someone who never sees you, interacts with you, understand how you live, what your community needs, to make decisions for you. And that's why your local governing bodies are so important, your city councils, your county boards, your villages, and so on. In terms of how other folks across the state are feeling about this, is a mixed bag. Folks aren't all happy about what Milwaukee has been given. And when I say given, I use that term loosely because we're only getting what we should have had anyway. But to folks across the state, they see it as like Milwaukee being treated in a special way. But that's only because of the messaging that the right has been, sort of like driving for the past few decades. A lot of our rural states for the first time are getting more shared revenue. Some in the double digits where we're getting 10%, we have folks, I think the next smallest is 20%, and there are some that are getting, close to 58% increased in shared revenue. I will say that these are very small amounts compared to the city of Milwaukee because these are smaller towns, right? I think the largest second county is Dane County at around 500,000 folks. And then we're talking about counties with 3, 4, 5, 10,000 people. And so them getting $100,000 in shared revenue is actually life-changing for them. And so they support this bill and actually see what we're getting as more than what we deserve. But the county executive and I, and as well as the mayor, we have been spending more time in the state capitol. We have been spending more time traveling the state and really revamping the face of Milwaukee, what people think Milwaukee is and what we're all about, and sharing a story of who we are and showing the connections. It's easy to other us because Milwaukee is home to our state's Black and Brown population and so many other challenges that we see sort of amplified in the media. But at the end of the day, we all have so much more in common and we have different. And just working with the county executive and the mayor trying to change that narrative is actually working. We aren't there right now, but again, each day I'm more hopeful because folks really are starting to wake up and understand that Milwaukee is important to the state's future, not just our own.
So in terms of roads ahead, how do you see that?
Roads ahead. So, right now,
And put it this way, tee it up in terms of how do you see that? Because we're coming up on a break and we'll be right back. So, where's the hope?
Well, the hope is right now our bodies are taking up the ability to adopt a sales tax initiative. If those are carried forward, then we can generate tens of millions of dollars within the first few months to start dedicating towards services. And we'll finally have some capital free where we can innovate and dream bigger than we've been able to dream before.
Folks, this is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. I am here with Marcelia Nicholson, the chairwoman of the great county of Milwaukee, of the board. We'll be right back. We don't do bad. Live from London.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, lows dropping down to the mid-50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, high mid-80s. Increasing clouds Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms Wednesday, high low 80s, and a slight chance Thursday, high middle 80s. Right now, it's 76.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Welcome back, folks. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here every Monday night, 7 to 8, talking about Wisconsin. How do we keep having it move forward, and how do we protect democracy in the state? I am honored and privileged to have Marcelia Nicholson, who is the chairwoman of the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors. She's been very active for the last, 7 years now? And one of the future leaders, you know, long-term leaders of our state. I said earlier, the leader, and she was said, look, there's other folks. So I'll concede to you there are other folks, but I don't want to downplay your voice for hope and creative solutions. So going forward in Wisconsin, where are we at? And I know that you'd mentioned during the break that you were at the State of the City with Mayor Cavalier Johnson, and we're talking about how this budget plays out and how Milwaukee plays out and how we're building, or you're building, trying to build coalitions around the greater state. What can you tell us about that, fresh from the event?
Yeah, so the State of the City was incredibly, it was centering. This is my first State of the City event, and I think our mayor did a great job of laying out sort of where we came from, where we are, and where we are going. He did preface a ton of our challenges. He talked about some of the gun violence that we're seeing, poverty and racial disparities that our residents face. He talked about, a lot of the reckless driving and, there's so many things that we hear about in the news about, what's wrong with Milwaukee. So he did not focus on that because there are so many incredible things that we have going on. And so he talked about how, crime is decreasing and how he is implementing so many new ideas to curb some of the challenges that we've been facing, investing in infrastructure, and using the money that we've been getting from our federal government to invest in, replacing our lead pipes and also creating access to for Wi-Fi and broadband and expanding our resources in our libraries and so on. And he just talked about also where we're going. The mayor's vision is to get to a city of 1 million residents. Right now, we're around half of that. And that is an audacious goal, but it's a goal I can get behind. I grew up in this city and I've seen the tremendous growth. I grew up in the poorest zip code. If you drive past my old neighborhood, you'll see boarded up houses. But if you go about a block or two blocks over, you'll see key investments already being made. And so much of that, some of our vacant homes and our boarded up homes and those sorts of things being invested in for the first time in years, and really creating more of a city that's full of vitality and life. And that's what we're working towards. That's why I'm so proud of our mayor. If you looked out into the crowd, you would have seen the folks ran the gamut from, you know, elected officials and other community leaders to youth, youth who are taking advantage of some of the programming that they've put in place. Teachers, our schools, our MPS superintendent was there, as well as a woman who's a parking enforcement officer. And I hadn't heard about this, but this woman was driving past the bridge on 16th Street at the right time and saw someone actually contemplating committing suicide and had pulled over and stopped and told that person that they were loved and waited until police and crisis management showed up. And that's a story I share because it really is a true testament to the people we have, the strong, resilient, kind, compassionate people we have, and what they deserve and what it's going to take for us to get there. It's definitely going to be a challenging, long road. We're going to need all hands on deck. But again, from someone who grew up in such a challenged environment, and I see this city growing and growing every single day, I want to raise my future family here. You know, we have no choice but to put, you know, everything that we can into it, and I'm committed to doing that.
So, you know, in terms of going forward, if there were like three things you would want to say to listeners all over the state, right? What are like those three things that we need to do together to really create a healthy Wisconsin?
That's such a hard question, Mark, but I'll go off of like my gut. I would say one, we really do need folks to pay attention. Now, I'm going to take some onus and I'll say, as an elected leader, it is definitely my job and my role to use my platform to educate as many people as possible. And I will do that as much as I can. But we really need folks to also, you know, be willing to be good citizens and to learn about, you know, what this all means and how it impacts you. Who are your elected representatives? Who are those folks that you show up to the ballot and vote for? And if you're not showing up to the ballot, we need you to show up to the ballot. If you have questions, we're here to serve you, but we need folks to pay attention. And then once they pay attention, we also need them to get involved. I told my story about how I almost did not run for office because I didn't think I was qualified, because I didn't come from a political background, because I didn't have people in my family who did politics. I was a teacher, right? I was a poor brown girl before then. But my experiences have helped me become or be such an effective legislator because I understand what people need. And those who are closest to the pain should be closest to the power. And power is not just wielded in elected office. Power is yielded at the ballot box, is yielded by showing up to the hearings and testifying, is posting on Facebook so your friends know what's going on, and so on. So we also need you to be engaged. And then lastly, I'll just say, be hopeful. Have hope. You know, life is hard and there's a lot of apathy out there and I understand it. But, you know, life is for living. And while we're here, we have to have vision. We have to be strong. We have to be resilient. We need that hope. We need that light to carry us through these, as you said, Mark, some of these dark days. So I ask that folks, you know, pay attention, get involved and also have hope.
Well, that was pretty hopeful.
Yeah. Thank you.
I would say that. So, folks, I've had the pleasure, and you've had the pleasure of listening. And as Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson shared part of her vision for a brighter and I should say this, a fair future, right?
Yeah.
How do we, right, respect each other and move forward? So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Mark. Bring me on again. This is fun.
You'll be on again soon. So, and you can give us what life's like on the streets.
Yeah, folks, exactly.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We will see you next Monday night.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Matinere.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.